ماركس سهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي حسن علي سليمان، Hope all is well إن شاء الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Yes, everything الحمد لله is fine. What a grace of Allah. الحمد لله. What's up today?
I've seen just a quick what you've been sending. You've sent me Bet and Burqa, the rise of Karachi's female cricketing star. What's this all about, Mufti sir?
Yeah, this this woman who likes to play cricket, but she wants to do any job. So she wants to be like the first woman to play in like an organized cricket league or something like that, and still wear the head covering and everything. So this is where we are. No. This is a big story here, as opposed to Gaza or something like that. The Gaza thing is good on Friday when we have protests, and Sunday we have protests. But now, okay, it's the rest of the week now, so we have to fill in the news.
Mm.
Okay, so this seems to be the type of news that we're looking for.
Mm. So
empowerment, women empowerment. This is called women empowerment.
Yes, and this is all done in the name of feminism, which you spoke about that lady, how she suffered and everything. But anyway, Saudi Arabia, if we saw the good old days. I don't remember, and I asked so many people if they remember. I don't know if when Mufti Saab went for Hajj, or if you ever seen that. I don't recall back in the 19 when I went in 1997, 1998, and then 2013. When I didn't see any Saudi Arabian woman as such, and they were always covered. And the West will say, and that's what they use for Afghanistan and for the women, they keeping them oppressed by keeping them in the homes and the rest. So now we've seen a total U-turn, as you've said, women empowerment in this slogans and in these names. So many reports have come about where if you want a woman taxi driver in Saudi Arabia, your mail, you want to travel from one place to the next, you can get it easily. So it's become so open. Now you can see, and I mean, if you take an Indian or you take someone from South Africa who's never seen a beautiful Arab woman, he's going to be like, this is going to be something that is, it's no more going to be Umrah. This is going to be some other journey for him. So this year, this shift the way we've seen, and that's where we come in and we say, if you go and see the prostitution that is taking place now in Saudi Arabia, it's the first time that they've come out open. And MBS is also concerned about this, the prostitution. But he's the same one who's opened all these doors for it. And like you said,
right,
about women playing cricket. And if you take Saudi Arabia, women playing soccer. It's become so common and they pushing this. I have tried now, I don't know what's happening, but Arab news, I used to get a lot of news from there, but we sort of used to like use it to spy on them and put it in our news. Now when I go on there, whether I use my laptop or whether I use my phone, they tell me you blocked from the site. So I don't know how this works. I really don't. I don't know how this works. Hmm.
Even Nike, Nike the brand, they have hijabs with the Nike swoosh on it. Not the hijab, scarf, the Nike scarves. Okay, for women that have the Nike swoosh on it. So it's just a way to make money. Everybody's getting involved, all right? For good or for bad.
Hmm. Yeah, so I just want to play this quickly, Mufti Saab, then we'll know what's happening in Al Ula. What's happening there currently? This is okay. In Saudi Arabia. I'm just going to play a short clip quickly.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I hope you're well. Music concerts weren't enough. Fashion shows weren't enough. Inviting barely clothed Hollywood celebrities to promote Saudi Arabia as a tourism destination was insufficient. Nothing seems to be enough until Saudi Arabia's purity is completely compromised, and the goal of transforming this holy nation into a hub of entertainment is entirely realized. This time, the Saudi government appears to be challenging Allah by demonstrating complete disobedience from a global perspective. Nobody would have believed over a decade ago that Saudi Arabia, the land of holy mosques, would descend to such a low level in the near future. Al-Ula, Saudi Arabia, a land of majestic rock formations, ancient tombs, and now dance floors, DJ nights, and hot air balloons from 18th to 27th April. Saudi Arabia is hosting the Al-Ula Skies Festival, a glamorous event that promises luxury, parties, and unfiltered entertainment. This year's Al-Ula Skies Festival is being called a five-star tourist experience. Video clips from the festival are getting circulated all over the internet, where people can be seen dancing, singing, wearing skimpy outfits, and doing mixed gatherings all through the nights. From scenic hot air balloon rides to lavish lounges, dance clubs, late-night DJ sets, and unrestricted clothing norms, this is not the Saudi Arabia many once knew. It appears that all these video clips are from some western part of the world, where those people reside who have no fear of God in their hearts. The strict dress codes are gone. Gender mixing is normalized. Nightlife has been glamorized. And Islamic values, they seem to have been left behind entirely. But this isn't just about modern entertainment. Definitely all such actions are sinful and show a total disregard of Islamic culture. But the more disturbing part is about where this is happening. This land, Al-Ula, is not a place where you can set up tourist attractions and DJ nights. It is the land where Allah once sent his punishment. It is the territory of ancient Thamud, to whom Prophet Saleh alayhi salam was sent. These individuals were noted for their strength and magnificence, but also for their arrogance and disregard for Allah's signs. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "In the people of Al-Hijr, denied the messengers, and we gave them our signs, but they were turning away from them, and they used to carve from the mountains houses, feeling secure, but the blast seized them in the morning, and all that they had acquired was of no avail to them." This land is not just any ordinary place. This is a cursed land, a place where Allah's punishment descended upon a nation that chose pride and disobedience over faith. This is a place.
So, Mufti Saab, you've heard most of that. I'll send it to Mufti Saab also later. But as we...
What are the dates of this this program?
12th to the 18th of April. So currently it's still on. But there is now footage of what's happening there because people are sending it viral. So Al-Ula, it's called. This is what's currently in this particular place. So as we know, they're trying to make it a tourist attraction. Allah has granted them natural resources such as oil and to benefit the Ummah from and take. But this is MBS's vision, his crooked vision, we say, that he wants to turn away from total reliance on oil and make it a tourist site. And in the interim, he's losing all these particular, all the Nuraniyat. He's trying, attempting to remove. Inshallah, he will be removed before that Nur has been removed.
And yeah, and not 1 liter of oil to Gaza, huh? During the last 15 months or so. Correct? Yeah. The timing is strategic. By the time it finishes, then they'll start getting ready for the hot season. Okay? So yeah, this everything is strategically planned. Okay? In Saudi. But the wrong way. But the wrong way. I say, Ultahak, they're left-handed. Their planning is left-handed instead of right-handed. Stop for Allah.
That's why the dua that our senior Mufti AK Saab teaches us, Allahumma ahlik ala Sa'ud kama ahlakta Ada wa Thamud. O Allah, destroy the family of ala Sa'ud, just the way you destroyed Ada wa Thamud.
The only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history, right?
And
the same place. The same place, it will be the same azab.
Hmm. So is yesterday we also spoke about how they're going to have this meeting in Saudi Arabia. As we know, Trump's first foreign visit will be there in mid-May. And this, I was seeing certain things which they're expecting from there. It's strengthening ties more than anything else. And this is, well, it's nothing shocking anymore, because we've just become so used to it, sort of, that this is what to be expected. And that's where I feel, once they asked, it was posted on one of these Israeli websites, pro-Israeli websites, they said, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Haaretz. Is it better to carry on with the lying? Is it beneficial to carry on with the lying on these false reports, or to hold back? So they came to the conclusion, no, it's better to carry on with these false reports, like, you know, 40 babies being beheaded and certain all these lies. And we saw that person, what had happened to him, the one who came out with that story. So they said it's better to carry on with these lies, because you're still getting some people who are, not some, a lot of people who still fall for it. So it's just good to go. And that's what happens. We don't do our research correctly. So we feel, okay, no. For example, Saudi Arabia is doing this, and that's a very holy land. Yes, the land is holy, but the people there who are running it currently, we've seen Sheikh Salih al-Talib. He was imprisoned in 2018 for, what was it, 10 to 12 years. And there as well, for what? Because he spoke against the cinemas, because he spoke against the intermingling, because he spoke on all this clubbing and everything that is taking place. So when you speak the truth, they imprison you. And 2030 seems to have this. I've seen one building in the US which they're starting to build, and by 2030 they expect it to be done. It seems like some Dajjali effects. If you see this building, if I can just find it, I'll send it to Mufti Sab as well. It's got, you can see clearly, it's got the eye, the one eye, and it's got two side buildings, and in the middle you can see that properly. Now, when we were younger, people used to tell us all of these things and show us certain clips and how the, you know, all these movements of the Zionists and where they're planning to go and the New World Order, these things here. And we used to say, but maybe it's this thing is all, you know, like over-exaggerated. And some things were, we must be honest. But you can see this building here. It really looks like that. So if you tie it in with Saudi's 2030 vision and all the rest, it seems like they're planning something big in 2030.
Well, 2050, they predict that that's when the whites will no longer be the majority in America.
Mm.
Okay, America will be a minority country. Okay.
Will you move back to?
That sounds strange, right?
Will you move back there?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. They have the same clowns running the place. But it seems to me, from as you're just talking about this, MDS is about, okay, he's a de facto ruler, right? But he's about business, okay? Making business for his country, for himself and for his country. And Trump is the same way, okay? Trump, in these 4 years, let's see how much business Trump will make. Okay, he's a billionaire going in, and he'll probably be a double billionaire when he leaves. Okay, he's making a lot of deals, and that'll be beneficial for companies that, you know, that he knows the people there, or maybe he's a part of. Okay, and just like the army over here in Pakistan. Okay, these countries are really seeming to do business to help themselves, okay? Not to help the people of the country, but those people who are in power. We'll see. But the rulers are a mirror of our actions, right? So it should be expected.
Yes.
When America elects a convicted criminal to be the president, what type of actions do you expect from that president?
I've just changing the subject a little bit here, where we can, one is the rulers and one is ourselves, if we don't make these changes. Speaking of weddings, right? So it says here, the countries that spend the most on weddings. And here in South Africa, we see it. It's not exaggerated to say that certain weddings, over R1 million is being spent. And they've got your American weddings, all the rest, but specifically the Indian weddings. And how much wealth don't we squander? How much of Hindu traditions, Hindu beliefs come in this sacred Nikah ceremony, which we have only in the masjid, before, after, all those ceremonies have nothing to do with Islam. I don't know about Pakistan, but here I'm sure it is. They've got the Mehndi night. Is that prevalent in Pakistan?
Yes, of course. There's something about for 7 days in a row.
Yes.
The women, the girls of the family, they have to get new dresses. And they have Mehndi done and things like this. Yeah.
For 7 days?
I've heard of it. Yeah, 7 days. There's a 7 day thing.
Okay. I know here in South Africa it's 7 days, but each day they've got a different function. So on a Thursday night, they have the khatam, just to, you know, halalize the whole thing. So they'll have a nice khatam. 40 yasin or something like that. So Friday night normally is the Mehndi night. And then Saturday, they'll have the nikah in the masjid. And sometimes not even in the masjid, in some hall. And thereafter, all the Christian traditions where you walk in, you know, the father walks in and the bride walks in with that long dress dragging on the floor and with some songs playing and the rest. All of it. It's all just church ways in that, you know, the setup as well.
I don't think America is pretty much high on that list, huh? Are they?
No,
it doesn't. Spending money for a wedding? Yeah, because we don't marry. We don't marry.
Exactly.
We live together. We don't marry. Save the money.
Yes, you're right. But I think Indians should be first on this list. That's what...
I've read it here about these Bollywood actresses. And
actually, I'm right. I'm right. We are right. Indian weddings are number one. Because started with number 10 and they went to...
They'll call American actors and actresses, or no, singers, I should say. You know, Rihanna and all these famous Beyonce and all these other people. They'll call them over and give them $1 million to perform for 30 minutes at this Indian wedding. Because the guy, you know, the father of the bride is, you know, some billionaire or something.
Hmm.
Billionaire criminal.
Hmm.
So... Yeah, I read about it here, and each one tries to outdo the other by bringing a bigger Hollywood star or singer from America.
Hmm. So the sad part is we are not living in India. We are Muslims living in South Africa. Maybe you can say your lineage goes to India, your lineage goes to Pakistan for those who are.
Right.
But why have these totally kuffar traditions come into our belief structure, and we feel it's a must. And here's the tragedy, Muftisa.
Because you're yearning for the good old days. This is why.
Right.
Yearning for the good old days.
Right. Here's the tragedy.
Even though it's full of kuffar.
Yes. The tragedy is, if you get people who they want to do things purely, they say, okay, we'll just, you know, maybe we'll just attend the nikah at least in the masjid that much. So we won't come for the Mehndi night, we won't come for this. They say then, what are you doing? You're breaking family ties.
There you go. I was waiting for that.
So now deen becomes important. They use that principle of deen. But the rest, where you're breaking, earning the wrath of Allah, that becomes like something non-existent.
Well, there's two things, right? Breaking family ties, and remember, I came to your wedding, or your daughter's wedding, or your son's wedding, and I gave such a big wedding gift. How come you're not coming to mine?
Yes.
Or my daughter's? That's the next thing.
Mm. Just as a...
that guilt should make you feel guilty.
Mm. There's a last reflection. There was once this brother, he said to me, he confided, and he said that, see, my wedding, my khala's son, he didn't come for you because he was writing an exam not even the next day. It was Friday night. He was writing an exam on Monday. So he didn't come for the nikah even in the masjid. He didn't come for that, right?
Okay.
Because why? He was writing an exam. So, okay. I didn't go to theirs because of all the intermingling music and the rest. Then they put, the same family then started to put criticism on my name to say that, see, you are breaking family ties. So that's the current situation we're in.
There's a hadith, the summary of it is like, don't let your vision go past your nose when you're looking at the faults of others.
Mm, I saw you said that.
You know, so don't do that, because you have so many faults yourself. All right, so don't look at other people's faults. You know, don't let your vision pass your nose.
Hmm.
Okay, so keep it to yourself. Hmm. That's the way we are nowadays. But America has they have the solution for everything. Don't marry. All right, rich men are asked, how come you don't marry? Because he knows that he's going to get divorced, and so he doesn't want to do that and lose half of his wealth.
Hmm.
Why would I want to do something that in within a couple of years I'm going to have to give half of my wealth to that person?
Hmm.
All right, so stay single. Hmm. That's the thought. Now, there's no thought of till death do us part.
Hmm.
The preacher, the reverend, he tells them, to in poverty and in richness and in sickness and in health, till death do you part. So that's a big problem for the man. Okay, and for the woman is when the preacher to obey him, obey your husband. Mm. No, they can't handle that.
Mm.
One woman refused to go forward with the marriage because that was an assistance. You weren't told that that was part of the swearing? You weren't told that? She said, no, no one told me that, but I had to obey him.
Mm.
So she didn't get married.
Mm.
This is America.
That's what we conclude on. Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. We always, Alhamdulillah, enjoyed speaking to you.
Alhamdulillah.
Tomorrow we'll continue.
Inshallah, tomorrow's our last day, huh?
For the week. Chui. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah. Okay. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.